Thank you, ladies. We appreciate that. Wasn't that beautiful? All right. I always like good singing. Amen. I like that. Thank you so much. A lot of singing and talk about heaven and the joy of the Lord this morning. And I tell you what, that's what we have to look forward to, right? What a wonderful thing. Well, my name is Bobby Creel. It's good to be with you all today. I'm glad to be filling in. I've been talking to Brother Brennan on the phone. And I understand he's out at work today or whatever, and will be with us tonight, Lord willing. So I'm glad about that, and get to kind of meet him in person. We've been talking over the phone a few times, and I really enjoyed our fellowship. Also, Brother John, met him several months back. Actually, we crossed paths at a doctor's office and got acquainted. He was sharing his story with us, and we kind of got reacquainted this morning. So it was good to see him again. And just good to fellowship with you all. We had a great time in Sunday school. Brother Jonathan, that was a wonderful Sunday school lesson. I really enjoyed that. I stopped back here to share that with him, just an encouragement. So if you were here for Sunday school and you heard that, well, I'm sorry. I can't top that one, brother. That was really tremendous, really good. And just a good, sincere thought from the Word of God that just hit right home. And if you heard that, you know what I'm talking about. If not, then you'll have to get the cliff notes from him later, the short version, you know, and let him catch you up on that. But really a great, great thought and lesson from the Word of God this morning, and I really appreciate that. We're glad to be with you today. My wife's with us. My wife's name is Hope. If you'll just wave, honey, right there so they'll know which one I'm talking about. Right next to her, on her right, would be Abigail, our youngest daughter. And then on this side right here, we have Angel, which is my oldest daughter. Angel, if you wave right there. You remember her probably from the summer. She came up here to see some friends from the Southland group. So when you had Southland here in the summertime, I think that was July, Angel told me she was here to meet them, and so you probably remember seeing her. And then her friend Cody is here with us today, Cody Weaver. And you don't have to wave. I think they know which one you are, Cody, so that'll be good. We're glad to be with y'all today. We have two boys that Bobby Joseph and Jonathan that are not able to be with us today, and they couldn't be here, but their hearts are here. And so we're glad to be with you to fellowship and fill in and just be a blessing. And so we enjoyed all the fellowship we've had so far, and we've enjoyed the great Sunday school hour, the good singing right here, too. I tell you what, every song was just really good, and especially that special. Thank you, ladies, once again, because that was really good, and I always enjoy good Christian music. You know, you really don't appreciate the musicians and the pianists and the sound people back there. You don't really appreciate them, the ushers maybe, until they're not here. And then you're like, wow, you know, that was a big part of the service. You know how valuable that becomes in the absence when you don't have, you know, someone to play or sing or something like that. All of a sudden then you realize, well, we really miss them. And so that's great. Pray for them. Thank them. Let them know it once in a while. You know, you're doing a good job because when everything goes good, well, we just kind of forget about them, don't we? And that's kind of the way it should be, you know. But you know, when the mic goes haywire or something, well, then we remember our sound people, right? And it really should be the other way around. We should be thanking them and appreciating them more often on those good days when everything goes right, you know, we don't have any hiccups. That's all great. That's because they're doing a fantastic job. And so let's appreciate them. Well, if you have your Bibles today, let's open the Word of God to John chapter 14, shall we? And I know you didn't come to hear me ramble on, but we came to hear a word from the Lord. And that's where we get our strength and our encouragement, our spiritual sustenance, right? That's where we get fed. We call it soul food. So we're about to serve it up this morning, some good old soul food from the Word of God. John chapter 14 is where we're going to be. And I'll read a few verses. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. So we'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 6. And after we do that, we'll just get right in. What I'd like to do is pray first, and then we'll read the Scriptures, and then we'll get right into the message, all right? So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin reading right there at verse number 1. Thank you so much for standing. I appreciate your respect for the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, how we do love you today. We thank you for the privilege to gather together in a fellowship, Lord, to enjoy the encouragement of one another, the good singing, and now the teaching and preaching of your Word. And so we humble our hearts, Lord, we ask you to speak to us. We pray you just take the Word of God and just make it practical. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'd be our teacher and guide through the message today and point out to us individually, personally, specifically. Lord, show us the things that we need to pay attention to, things that we need to learn and to know, maybe things we need to grow in. Lord, we just ask you to show us what you'd have us do with the things that we'll learn today from your word. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, the Bible says in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Thank you so much. You may be seated. Well, I will share a couple of things with you, but before I do that, let me just say to our veterans, thank you so much for your service. You know, all of the things that we're free to do here today, we owe it to you guys, you men and women who've served the Lord and who carried the flag and that uniform and paid the price. You know what? We enjoy the price of freedom, but freedom isn't free. There's a price for freedom, and that price has to be paid in every generation. You know, we kind of wish we could pay it once and be done, but that's not the way it works. There are always those who are ready to take those freedoms, and that's why every generation has to pay that price to maintain and to keep the freedoms we enjoy today. Thank God for our country. Maybe she's not all she ought to be, right? But we thank God for the great privileges that we enjoy in this land today, and this one in particular that we're enjoying right now, the freedom to worship and read our Bibles and gather together in fellowship and worship God. Praise the Lord for that freedom today. Well, John 14 is a familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus is speaking here, as you can see in your Bible. If you have a red letter edition, most of these are words in red. That's because Jesus is talking. He's speaking to his disciples in a very personal manner, and he's trying to encourage their hearts with this word. He says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." And so this morning, I want to share with you a message I've just entitled, "Truth for a Troubled Heart." Truth for a troubled heart. Because I'm telling you, he was looking at some guys who may have looked all good on the outside, but on the inside, they were bearing some troubles. And some of those troubles were coming from the things that were happening and were about to happen. You see, if we rewind a little bit and we go back in the Scriptures some before John 14, 1, we're going to understand that the disciples, when Jesus chose them, now be mindful that they were not religious guys. They were not like the Pharisees. We mentioned them in Sunday school. So they weren't so religious that they had the first five books of the Bible memorized. They weren't so religious that they walked around carrying parts of the Scripture on scrolls attached to their body. They weren't so spiritual and religious that they were meticulously and methodically carrying out the commands of God throughout their everyday, right? These were rough guys. They were fishermen, right, and things like that. But they were familiar enough to know something about God and know something about His Word. They knew enough to know that the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ, and they were convinced that was Him, they knew enough to know that one day He would come and set up His kingdom. As a matter of fact, they did miss a few parts, and they thought at this time that's what He was going to do. So they became convinced that this is He. This is the Messiah. They followed Him, fully expecting Him at some point to establish His kingdom and overthrow the Roman Empire in their day. So when Jesus began to talk about things like going to the cross and dying, boy, that really, it shook what they believed really down to the roots. And right about that time is when Jesus comes with this word to say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And He said these words to them to bring comfort and joy, to restore that faith that they had put in Him already. realizing that he would not at this time set up his kingdom, but that would be a future event. Between now and then, there would be some heavenly rejoicing to follow. And so he speaks these truths for troubled hearts. Psalm 107, verse 29 says, "He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." You know, Jesus has that ability. One day he stood on the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the disciples were amazed when the winds and the waves, they obeyed him and they calmed. When I was growing up, there used to be a little saying, you know, don't pray for patience because you might get it. You know what the Bible says? Tribulation worketh patience. And so the idea, Brother John, was if you pray for patience, well, you're going to get a bunch of tribulation so that it can work patience in you. And so people would say, oh boy, whatever you do, don't pray for patience. Well, I figured that makes sense, and it's got good Bible behind it. So, Brother Jonathan, instead of praying for patience, I found Psalm 107:29, and I started praying, Lord, give me a calm spirit. That's really what I'm after anyway, right? A calm spirit. Lord, just help me to be calm. I mean, when the wind's blowing outside, help me to be calm on the inside. Right? That's an admirable trait. Somebody has the self-control, the temperance to control themselves in turbulent times. I think we all admire that. And we ought to pray for that a little bit more. So use that Psalm 107 and pray for that calm spirit. You know, we find at times in our lives that we certainly need that. And that's what Jesus was trying to give to the disciples. He was trying to give them a calm on the inside while there were questions and doubts and fears on the outside. And you know, I find more and more as time goes on that we find that the world is full of those things, isn't it? Doubts and fears and questions. It seems like around every corner. But thank the Lord we know Jesus and we have the Word of God, right? So we know the one who can calm all of that. We know the one who can bring us the peace and the hope and the faith and trust. We know the one who gave us the promises that we too might claim and be calm on the inside as the storm is brewing on the outside. And that's what Jesus is giving to his disciples right here. These, you might say, are the antidotes to fear. Well, in my accounting of these, I have four of them that I want to share with you this morning that I see in this passage, these truths for troubled hearts. The first one is found in verse 1. If you'd look with me, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." So notice he says that. He's appealing to the disciples in the area of faith. And he says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And notice that word believe. You know, people talk about that often, right? To believe. And I heard a lady say one time, well, you know, everybody's got to believe in something. You know what? That statement right there really doesn't mean anything. That's kind of like that story, you know, have you ever heard it? About everybody thought that somebody would do it, and somebody thought that everybody would do it, and so nobody did it, right? Everybody, anybody, somebody, however you use those words. But I found this. If you know anything about the Word of God, that you know that faith really is meaningless unless it has an object. So it's not just do you have faith, it's what is your faith put in? That's what's important. You know, if you put your faith in the wrong place, well, by all means, we know in this world that that can lead you to a lot of trouble. We found here that the disciples understand. They know and understand by this time who they are putting their faith in. Right? I like that old psalm that says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able." It's after the scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy, right? Encouraging this young man in the Lord to have faith, to believe God. And you know, we could apply that to what we might call saving faith. Because the truth is, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have that assurance settled down, well, that's what it takes to settle it. It takes faith. It takes not just the kind of faith that believes in something, but the kind of faith that accurately places its trust in the right place, in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust Him, and we understand that Jesus died on the cross, that we might be forgiven, and that our sins might be covered and paid for. Jesus made the only payment God will accept
for the price of sin. So when we accept Christ into our life, when we allow Him to make that payment, apply it to our account, then and only then are we truly forgiven and made a child of God. Isn't that good? It's good to know that, isn't it? You know, God's not the kind of judge that can just wink and blink His eye and act like we never did anything wrong. We were talking about a presidential pardon recently, and I said, you know, the only thing being better than a presidential pardon is to be forgiven by the Lord Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus, you know, when the president pardons you, you just kind of overlook it, right? We just kind of say, okay, we just kind of excuse you, right? We can't erase whatever was done. We just give you a pardon to go on. But when Jesus forgives somebody, the price of their sin is fully paid for, and they get the pardon on top of that from now to come. So it's like a double pardon. It's doubly good. And that's what Jesus gives us. Faith in God, saving faith, right? Put your faith in the right place. Don't just hope you're going to heaven. Don't just think you're going to heaven. Know you're going to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior if you've never done that. Jesus said, the Bible says, if the Son therefore make you free, you should be free indeed. Isn't that right? He's able to do it and He does it right. No one's ever been turned away. Jesus never says no to the sincere heart who comes in faith, trusting Him and confessing their sins. So, if you were to die today and go to heaven, and if you were to get to the gate, and if God were to say, why should I let you in? How would you answer that question? There was a lady who died and went to heaven. She was a blonde lady. Okay, if I tell a blonde joke. And Peter stood outside the gate and he said, well, ma'am, why should we let you in? What are you here for? She said, Peter, I'm here to see Andy. He said, Andy? He said, I don't know Andy. She said, oh, you know. He said, Andy who? She said, you know, Andy walks with me and he talks with me. Well, hey, listen, I tell you what, you don't want to get to the gate like that, right? You want to be a little bit better prepared to know Jesus Christ. Have you ever accepted Him as your Savior? Do you know if something happened that you'd be at home in heaven with Him? Hey, there's no better assurance than that, is there? By the way, if you don't have that assurance, then today could be the day you get it. We'd be glad to take the Bible and show you how. Right after this service here in a little while, we'll have a time for you to make a decision. And if you'd like to do that, we'll be glad to help you do that. You know, there's also serving faith. Because it takes faith, doesn't it, to follow the Lord. It takes faith to serve God, just as it takes faith to come to Him, right, in salvation and believe Him and trust Him to save you. It also takes faith for you to live the Christian life. I've talked to some people that said, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I'd like to become one, but I don't think I can live it. Well, welcome to the club. And if you really understand the Bible, the truth is, without His help, none of us can live it. Amen. Right? The Christian life's hard. It's a challenge. It's not just for easy. You know, I've had some skeptics, and I've heard of some skeptics who have talked like, you know, well, Christianity, you know, that's for wimpy people. Like, well, hey, you ever tried it? You ever try to love your enemy? You ever try to forgive those that have despitefully used you and pray for them? There's some hard things there. That's just on the surface, boy. We could go a lot deeper. Jesus put out some challenges in His day. Remember the guy that came and said, I want to follow you? And Jesus said, okay, great, man. Sell everything you got and let's go. Whew. The Bible says He went away sorrowful. Right? Because God wants us to put Him first. So I'd say to the skeptic, who are you putting first? I mean, when I look at Christians and say, hey, has there ever been a time when you loved anything more than you love God? Ooh, wow, we all have to say, oh, me on that one, right? Ouch. It's hard to live that, isn't it? So those are the things that are put before us. Those are challenging things that God teaches us in His Word. And as we start to learn those and try to practice that, we find out that, guess what? This Christian life is challenging. This is tough. This can be hard at times. When you're going through trials and you're going through tribulations and you don't know why, and all you can do is hold on to the fact that God loves me and He has a purpose, even if I don't know what it is. Right? I trust Him. Like old Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Once you get to know him, you know that he's good enough to follow. Doesn't matter where he's leading. David said it like this. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I thought, boy, oh boy. The only way you can say that is if you know the shepherd. Right? I don't know about you, but no rod or staff ever comforted me. Right? Those are disciplinary tools. They don't bring comfort. They bring discomfort. The only comfort is knowing the hand that holds that tool. No, hey, look, no abuse there. We're talking about the loving hand of the shepherd, right? And when those tools are applied, it's for our benefit every time. Paul talked about that when he compared it to growing up in a home, and our, he said our earthly fathers would discipline us, right? We know when our heavenly Father disciplines us, he does it well. The second truth for troubled hearts is found in verse 2. Jesus is speaking to the disciples as they're worrying about what's coming and the future of things not being as they thought it was. Has that ever happened to you? You get disappointed because things didn't happen the way you thought? Yeah. If that hasn't happened to you yet, then put your seatbelt on because life's full of that. And so here they are. What now? Jesus says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that good? Well, here they are included. Now he gives them something that brings them hope. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, you know what that means? Well, you know, down here, we say it like this. I got reservations. Amen? You ever go to a hotel that's full and say, thank God I got reservations? They want to be left out, right? You don't want them to say, hey, we get no room. It can't happen. Nope, sorry. We're all booked up. Hey, I got reservations. It's all right. That's good. And that's the way heaven is, by the way. If you don't have reservations, you don't get in. You got to have reservations. You've made yours. Jesus Christ holds the booking, and he takes care of that. In Psalm 119, verse 42, David said, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused us to hope. Or caused me to hope. You know, I've found in my own Christian life that here it is. The Word, God's Word, causes us to hope. We find hope, we find help, we find comfort in God's Word, don't we? And this is what sustains us. This is what gets us through life. This is what gets us through hard times, through trials. We can go back to a verse like that one I used a moment ago, right? When everything's turbulent around you and times are tough, you can go to that Psalm 107:29 and say, he maketh the storm a calm. Hey, Lord, if there's anybody that has the ability to calm this down, you do. And so I come asking for that strength, that peace, that calm that I need. Hey, I'm telling you, he can give it, can he? Oh, like no one else, he can give it. We just learn to put our trust and faith in his word. We find guidance, we find strength, we find help, hope in Christ. These are pretty good antidotes to fear, aren't they? Faith and now hope. In verse 3, we find the next antidote, the next truth for a troubled heart. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Notice what he said. If I go to prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. Any history buffs in here? A lot of people point back to that great saying by General Douglas MacArthur. You remember? When he said, I shall return. And I was teaching history in a Christian school one time, and we got to that part, and I said, hey, guess what? Somebody greater than Douglas MacArthur said that first. Jesus. Right here. He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. So what was he doing? He was giving them a promise so that they could have it. You know what they needed right now? Trust. Trust. You know, sometimes we don't realize how valuable trust is until we don't have it. But it is something powerful when you can trust what someone says. Well, hey, I'm here to tell you, you can always trust what God says. David said concerning the words of God, he said, I've discovered all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Wow. You know what David said? He said, look, just make your mind up. He said, whatever God said is true. Think about that. You know, if we could have that same perspective, if we could just believe God enough to say, okay, Lord, I know what you said is true, half the battle would be won right there. We'd be putting our trust in the one who gave us the words. And guess what? Victory would be on the other side of that. Here he was looking at a bunch of disciples who had questions in their mind. Doubts and fears were entering in because he had told them that I'm going to be crucified and 3 days later rise from the grave. This was disturbing because it's not what they expected. They thought he was going to set up the kingdom and they didn't know what are we going to do? What's going to happen next? Where do we go from here? Questions, right? We all have them. God knows what to do. He said, guess what, guys? Don't worry. He said, I'm going to leave for a time. He said, but guess what? If I go to prepare a place, I'm coming back to get you so that we can be together again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, right? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But again, I go back to that saying, you know, living the Christian life is not easy. And guess what? It's not always easy to trust God with all your heart. You ever find a struggle with that? Lord, I know I'm supposed to trust you. Lord, I know you said this, but, right? Sometimes in difficulty, we really lean hard on that trust, don't we? That's why he gave it to us. He gave us trust. It was truth for a troubled heart to know that he can be trusted and that he will do what he said. The Bible tells us that God has begun a good work in us and he will perform it until the day of the Lord. So guess what? That little children's song we used to sing in children's church, still true. You know, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. I don't know about you, but he's been working on me longer than a week. Right? Thank God for his patience, for his mercy. So what does he do? He gives us trust. That we can look to him. We can trust his word. We can believe what he says. Is he coming back? Sure he is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Remember Paul wrote to the Thessalonican believers? And he said, guess what? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, right? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive will be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, what a day. So the songwriter was inspired to write, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look on his face, right? What a day. The last thing Jesus gives us is found in verse 4, truth for a troubled heart. He gives us assurance. Notice in verse 4, he said, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, in all sincerity, that childlike faith, he says, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I remember talking to a Catholic man one time. We talked about heaven and the Lord, and he was very excited about that. I said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? He said, I don't know. I hope so. I said, well, Jesus wants you to know so. And he said, how can we know that? We've never died before. I've never been to heaven before. How can I know that? I said, that's a good question. Did you know that question's in the Bible? I took him to this verse. John 14, verse 5. Thomas asked the same question. Lord, how can we know? I said, but you know what? That is a question that God doesn't want you to guess about. He wants you to know about. And so he gave the answer in verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why is that? Well, because of what we learned in Sunday school. That all of our goodness. See, this is what the Pharisees missed. They were so religious, but they kind of missed the point of it all. all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags compared to a holy God. So if you took the biggest bulldozer you could find and rounded up all your goodness and your good deeds, everything you've done in your whole life, and you've mounted all up, what did the prophet say? He said, all of our good stuff, the best we have to offer, he said, it looks like stinky, dirty rags to God. You know why? Because for two reasons. Number one, the best of our best doesn't compare to his holiness. That's number one. But number two is this. You know, even though we do good things, guess what? We do bad things too. So let me ask you a question. If you've been going to church any length of time, you should be able to answer this question. Do good works erase bad ones? What do you think, class? Do good works erase bad works? No. You know what they do? They just lay side by side. So good works don't erase bad works. Ah, so then that means the Bible's true when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I've done bad works, so I'm guilty. Well, if I'm guilty of ever doing a sin, I'll just tell you I did more than one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? It means we're all guilty. We're all sinners. We've all done more than one. Guess how many sins it takes to keep you out of heaven? Just one. Brother James says, if you offend in one point, if you break God's commandments, if you break God's law even one time, he said, that's it. If you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. So the truth is this. This is the Bible message. The Bible message is this. We're all guilty. None of us can get to heaven on our own. We couldn't do enough good works in 10 lifetimes to get us there. And that's why we needed Jesus to come. So Jesus died on the cross, not for himself, but for us. He took our place. He took God's punishment for sin so that he could pay the price for us. So that we who had no hope of getting to heaven could now be forgiven, accepted in the family of God, and have a place. See, that's what Jesus gives us. And that's what he gave to the disciples, assurance. He said, where I'm going, you're going to be there. He said, I am the way. I'm going to take care of you guys, right? They weren't going because they were good. They were going because he's good. He said, I'm going to take you there. He didn't leave them a long list of things to do to get there. He didn't leave them a religious roadmap to find their way, right? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You guys are going to get there through me. And that's the same way anybody's going to get there. Anybody that gets to heaven has to go through Jesus. He gives us that assurance. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. The Bible gives us assurance of eternal life in 1 John 5:13. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, that's something God wants you to know. We're given assurance of answered prayer. 1 John 5:14. If you've never seen this verse, you might want to turn and look at it with me. I'll take a minute to turn there also and just kind of read it because it's such a good verse, telling us that God does answer prayer. Verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. How about that? What great assurance is that, to know your prayer is going to be answered before you ever say it, because it lines up with this. Wow, that's good. And then John 14, verses 4 and 6, you know what we have assurance of? We have assurance of his ability. Jesus was not only able to take the sins of the world on himself, he hung on that cross and he said, it is finished. What was finished? The work of God, the payment for sin. He said, it's done. And guess what? That's why there's nothing left for you to do. Aren't you glad he did it that way? I mean, you know, God could have left us a list and he could have printed it in the Bible and he could have said, hey, if you want to get to heaven, just do these things. What kind of things do you think would be on the list? Go to church every Sunday, right? Get baptized, be good to your neighbor, things like that, pay your taxes, whatever. Hey, any list you come up with, when you start reading those, you're going to realize, hey, whoa, wait a minute. That would leave some people out, right? For example, if we made number one, go to church every Sunday. Anybody in here ever missed? I know I have. Oops. Wow. What about people who have a handicap or that are sick or in the hospital? What about people who legitimately couldn't come? Well, that'd leave them out, wouldn't it? I'm glad God didn't give us a list. He took the list. He took care of all that. He said, hey, you just come to me, I'll take care of you. He said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him. He made the payment, and he'll get you there. And he said, guys, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You know, it's about fellowship. God loves us for who we are, not for what we can do for him. And he said, you just trust me, you just come, you confess your sins, I'll take care of those. He said, and we'll go together. Hey, what an awesome God we serve, who loves us and cares for us, who gives us truth for troubled hearts today. Isn't it good? I hope it's been a help to you today. Let's bow our heads in this invitation time. And I don't know if there might be a visitor or someone here maybe new to the church or new to the faith. I just want you to know that if you're here today without Jesus, he loves you, he knows you, and he wants to meet that need. He wants to give you the same assurance that you can go to heaven as he's given us. And if you need that today, I want to invite you. In a moment, we're going to stand and folks are going to come here and pray. And if you'd like, step out from where you are. Come down to the front and say, preacher, I want to know. I'm going to heaven. Hey, we'll take the Bible and show you how. It's that simple. Today, maybe you're here and you're going through some troubling things. Maybe you need some of that calm that we talked about on the inside because things are sure troublesome on the outside. If God's working in your life like that, then I want to invite you to come and pray right here at the front. Find a place and meet God. Ask him for that. He knows what you need. He wants to meet you right here. Father, we thank you for your word today, for the challenge, for the comfort, for the assurance. Thank you for the faith, the hope, the trust, and assurance that you gave us in this passage to let us know we can trust you and that you will help us. You're always here when we need you. And so today we ask you for that hope, that peace, that comfort. And we pray you'd give it as needed to folks here today. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.